Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. And by the way, our phone number, I keep forgetting to give that. It's 847-312-4676. And go to our website, and you can download these programs for free. And you can also get copies of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary. Great tools that you should have for study purposes. And we also have some other great material at our website at crossandthrone.com, including some of the books of this man, my guest with me today, Mr. Martin Zender.
Good to be back with everybody.
Well, Martin, we are talking about our topic today is how to quit church without quitting God. And before you prejudge, remember, when we talk about church, we talk about the institution that has the name of God and Jesus Christ attached to it. But it's not necessarily the church that Christ founded. And I want to read an excerpt here from your book on how to quit church. And I would like everyone to pay attention to this, whether you're driving or sitting at home or listening on the internet. Now, this is on page 55 of your book, How to Quit Church, Without Quitting God.
Yes.
I saw a church sign last week at the Church of Christ here in town. This sign explained a lot about what Christians think worship is. Veterans Day was approaching, and the sign said, "Because they served, we are free to worship." Not true. And let me explain. I am free to worship always and everywhere. I appreciate what our veterans have done and still do to keep enemies from our shores, but fighting for my freedom to worship is another matter. How could I ask these brave men and women to risk their lives trying to defend a thing that could never be taken from me? Now that is amazing. How can we ask somebody to defend something that could be never taken from me? I can worship God in jail. I can worship God in a Chinese prison camp. I can worship God in a nation overtaken by militants of every persuasion. I can do this because true worship happens inside me. God's temple is in my heart, and I can carry my heart wherever I go. Worship occurs in my spirit, and nothing can stop it. Now, here's how you end this paragraph, this section here. This church sign proves to me that Christians have reduced worship to gathering in buildings. Should a godless enemy overtake our country, the enemy will blow up all our churches and there will be no more buildings to gather in. The Christians will panic because their worship centers on buildings. Let me repeat that. If an enemy takes over this country, the Christians will panic because their worship centers on buildings. No buildings, no worship. That's what they think, and basically that's what the sign suggests. There are many good reasons to fight for this country. The reason on the church sign is a bad one. No one should kill or be killed trying to preserve this one thing. Amen. I can't lose. And that's an amazing statement. The very fact that they would write something like that, it's just so true. What they're saying is we want our freedoms preserved so we can have our staples, our sweet-smelling incense, so we can feel nice on Sunday and have chicken dinners afterwards.
God is so tied. This proves that in people's minds, God is so tied to the institution. And really, a great example of this was on 9/11, 2001, the original September 11th. People were all of a sudden wanting answers of how this life was going to end. Where is God? What is happening? And they flocked to institutions. That's how closely in people's minds God is associated with the buildings. We need answers. We'll go to church. And as you recall, back then, church membership was up for 3 or 4 months. Twice the people that usually went to church were going to church. And what did you find? And I predicted this. In fact, I wrote this book around the time of September 11, 2001. And I knew even before it happened that there would be the excess would go back out of the church because people were going to find no answers in the institution, because the institution is not geared to give you the answers to your deepest questions. Where is my dead mother? Where is my dead father? Does evil win over good? Is God in control of this world? Is Satan Is Satan sovereign? These are the questions that, man, when you ask these questions in church, you're handed a donut and a napkin and told to, well, we'll talk about this at the ice cream social. You cannot ask these questions. And people who don't usually go to church flock to churches thinking, well, that's the church. That's where you get answers. They went and they found out that's not where you go to get answers. That's where you go to get confused. But the people who are already in it, the people who had already been in the institution for years, they've been so deadened to the fact that all their deep questions have been erased, and it's almost as if their minds have been erased. They know that there are certain questions you don't ask, and just shut up and sing. The shut up and sing syndrome is what I call it. But the people who are not used to this, the people who still have their right minds, who are not brainwashed, they came into the system, found it bankrupt, and went back out. And we saw that, the numbers, the statistics, that's what happened post-9/11. And once again, God is telling us that the answers are in the scriptures.
Oh, but that's okay. At least they have a program for the children.
At least they have a program.
You know, it's funny, when it comes to the children, I find a lot of these churches now, they're promoting their youth program. You know, that's what Pharaoh did in God wanted to bring Israel out of Egypt, what did Pharaoh say? What was his objection? Leave the children with us.
Yeah.
And because Pharaoh knew if he can keep the children, he can keep the adults, correct? And
that's
this,
right.
And so they're appealing to all this stuff. And the thing is, I was in the institution for years. Now, I'll never forget one time I went to a very large church here in the Chicagoland area. And I was a young man. I was struggling because I wanted to know scriptures. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know Christ. And I remember going to the pastor of this large church, and I was struggling on an issue. It had to do with water baptism back then, because we had a lot of those Pentecostal folks who thought that water was equivalent to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember asking this pastor about this, and you know what his response was to me? He goes, well, I can't answer that lest I go against my church's doctrinal statement. He was afraid to talk to me. He was afraid to talk to a young, struggling man of 19 years old about God and giving him some peace and help from the scriptures. And that was my first experience with the institution.
Peace and help. That's all people are looking for. Their gut tells them, I need peace and I need help. And they go to the institution and they find that, well, God loves you unconditionally as long as you love him. God's in control of everything as long as you obey him. God is going to save the world unless you don't choose to be saved, in which case you're going to go to hell for eternity. These answers provide comfort and security?
Of course.
No, they're false teachings. And
I'm going to give you a passage of scripture just so people realize that this is a Bible teaching. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, consequently, then, no longer are you guests and sojourners, but fellow citizens of the saints and belong to God's family. Okay? Being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the capstone of the corner being Christ Jesus himself, in whom the entire building, being connected together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for God's dwelling place in spirit. God's dwelling place is a bunch of people.
Yes, the church is people,
it's
not
people.
A building.
And there's never in one time in Scripture does Paul or any other associate a church building with God.
This is a good time to give the...
This is not the Old Testament tabernacle,
right,
or the temple.
God's methods have changed.
In Paul's letters, which address the body of Christ, right, you have the church as people. God's dwelling place are people today.
We need to keep up with the changes God has made. Otherwise, we're going to go to the scriptures and see Noah building an ark, and we need to build an ark too. Or we see people sacrificing lambs and sheep to God. Well, we need to do that too. Why don't we do that today? Well, that's Martin, that's gone. God doesn't do that anymore. Exactly. What else doesn't he do anymore? He does not dwell in temples made by human hands. That's what Paul said to the Athenians, the same apostle Paul Dan was talking about. Paul was in Athens, and he beheld all the statuary and the tributes to an unknown God. And Paul said, the God of the heavens and earth does not dwell in temples built by human hands. That's in Acts chapter 17.
Yes.
And what a vital truth. Why don't people believe that? God's methods have changed. He's no longer living in a building. He now lives in a people. And this word ecclesia which we find in the Greek. The scriptures were the New Testament was written in Greek, not English. This is a beautiful word. Mm. Ek means out, and ecclesia means called. It's called out. It's a called out group of people who have the Spirit of God in them. That's their common link. People tell me, Martin, you don't go to church. I said, I am the church. How can you go to church when you are the church? But wait a minute, you need pastors over you. You need authority over you. You're not under any authority. I said, I'm not? Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ good enough for you? Christ is the head of the ecclesia. He's my authority. Well, he's not walking around telling you what to do. He called a man named Paul to give instructions to and exhortations, and I follow those. These are my marching orders here in the scriptures. What do you mean I don't have an authority? Well, you need a pastor too. You need him. A pastor is not somebody that an institution has authorized, somebody that has gone through a school. A pastor is someone to whom God has given a gift to care for the church. There are people in my life who act as pastors. Dan acts as a pastor in my life. When I'm in trouble, when I'm having a problem, when I need help, I call Dan because God has given. I recognize Dan, you as God, as someone to whom God has given the wisdom to shepherd his people. You're not, there's no diploma on your wall. I don't need to say, Dan, show me your credentials. Do you have a card that says you're a pastor? Were you approved by an institution? I recognize that God has given you a gift. God has given each one of us gifts. And we use these for one another. There are teachers, there are evangelists, and there are pastors in the body of Christ. And these are not approved by men, they're approved by God. And I dare anybody to tell me that someone who's approved by a man trumps someone who is approved by God. What is this diploma business? What is this, I graduated from so-and-so institution? That should so sound so wrong to your spirits. That should so rankle you that you will run from the institution. Trust God to give you what you need in a freelance way. He's in the business of doing that today.
A number of years back, I knew somebody who was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. Was asked to, was recommended to speak at a local church. And a local church called this man. And the pastor of that church said he's going to be out of town. And he had heard of by reputation that he was a good teacher by some of his own congregation, and the pastor asked this man, what seminary did you go to? The man says, I never went to seminary. And the pastor said, well, no, thank you. We'll find somebody else.
They would have also rejected Peter, James, and John.
Gift was not important. Degree was. And that's all the marks of a cult.
Yes.
Right there in the religious realm. We're not talking about going to school to be a doctor.
Right.
Or a mathematician. But we'll get into the signs of a cult here. Does Christianity fit the bill for the signs of a cult? Not biblical Christianity, but the modern system. We'll get into that. This is Dan. You'll have to tune in for that tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan.
You don't want to miss that.
Yeah. This is Dan Sheridan, Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. Our mailing address, if you want to keep this program on your station there, it's P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And if you're to write a check or anything like that, it's to Cross and Throne Ministries. You can get this book at martinzender.com, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And go to our website as well at crossandthrone.com. You get the concordant version, the concordant commentary. Martin and I are going to be in Chicago September 18th through 20th for our conference. Go to our website for more details. September 18th through 20th here in Chicago. We hope you come up. And Martin, will you close us?
Believe in God, folks, no matter what the clergy tell you.